stand by.
Hi, this is Jeff.
And Gretchen.
And you're listening to the podcast favored by George Bush, This and That, with Jeff and Gretchen.
I seriously doubt George favors this podcast. I seriously doubt that.
This is show number 56. No, he writes me all the time.
Does he?
He loves the show.
He likes it when we poke fun at him.
He loves it.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to get in with the real type of, you know, he'd like to have a beer with us, he said.
But he doesn't drink anymore, so.
Wow.
Oh, darn.
But isn't that why he was voted in? Because people thought that they'd like to have a beer with him?
Yes, that's right. He was a very...
But he doesn't drink. That is a conundrum. Well, would you like to have a soda with him? A sody pop with George Bush?
Not really.
So just be careful what you say. He does listen.
Oh, okay. All right.
And if he's not listening, the NSA is listening. this is take two, actually. Gretchen and I got started on a show, and the mic cable went. You know, and that I can't tell you how mad that makes me, because these mic cables are not cheap.
Yes,
you know,
true.
For $20, it lasted probably about 4 years or so. And that's an expense that, you know, if you guys can PayPal us some funds here for the engineering costs. No, I'm amazed. They're cheap mic cables. Most of them are $20, but they last a long time, and you don't expect them to last a lifetime. So a good engineer has a couple extra handy. I got lucky. All right. Well, I was telling Gretchen that she's going to have to carry the show, that this show, I don't have too much. I can rattle the pages of what I have. It's not too much. Started working last Monday. It's Tuesday. No, it's Monday night right now. So I started working last week, and just getting adjusted to a new schedule is kind of weird. It's kind of funky. I came home last night every night just tired, just fatigued. Just getting used to the new schedule, you know, getting used to waking up early and...
It's rough being in the working world, huh?
Yeah, I don't know about this working world. And I was amazed they wanted me to come back a week afterwards, too, and do it again. Holy cow.
You must have done something right. Surprised yourself, huh?
They didn't lock me out of the building yet. So anyways, how are you been?
Hey, I've been good. Getting ready for my vacation.
I know, I'm so jealous.
Leaving for Alaska, yeah.
I'm so jealous. This is not a good time to go to Alaska. Isn't January a better time, typically?
No, I think this is the perfect time. It's 70 degrees and it's light till like 11 p.m.
So that's going to be weird. And what time does it get light in the morning?
Oh, I think early.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, I think it's really early, yeah.
So. You know, I was in Stockholm on business once, and it was the middle of summer.
Uh-huh.
And I remember going out drinking. It was my younger days.
My younger days. I had myself a little drink.
Anyways, I felt like I was a real nightlifer because I left the bar at about 3, which is still late.
Yes.
But the sun was coming up, and it was so weird. I felt a little bummed because I wanted to go home and sleep, and I'm not a good sleeper when the sun's out.
Yeah, I have a feeling it's going to be odd, but I'm assuming the ship has blackout drapes because they
are prepared
for this.
Well, the really funny thing is our friend Susan, mm-hmm. who I've mentioned on the show before, is also going on a cruise to Alaska, leaving not exactly the same day, I think one day earlier. And it turns out that you're going on two different ships, one going the different directions.
So we will pass each other.
Right.
In the harbors and probably actually dock in some of the same cities.
Right.
How strange.
How strange is that?
How strange is that? Well, that leads me to, when I hear the first story that I thought we should probably talk about.
Absolutely.
I needed to get my passport renewed mm-hmm. because it's been, you know, 10 years and it expires. And
that helps, yeah.
It does help. And because, you know, we're going to Canada or stopping in Canada.
Right.
We need to have one now. And you might have heard today that something very unusual happened within the Bush administration.
I haven't heard.
Did you actually?
He usually calls me on this stuff, but
well,
not this time.
Well, here was something that was really unusual. It actually made the news because Assistant Secretary of State Mara Hardy, who is in charge of U.S. passports, actually said in a statement, she said she takes 100% of the blame for screwing up the passport mess that the country's in right now.
Really? Well, good for her taking blame for it. Hey,
good,
you know?
Good for her.
Yeah, and it has been a big problem. I've heard anecdotal stories from different friends and relations.
Well, I was actually holding my breath because I was getting concerned. It wasn't coming, and I allowed 10 weeks, and
wow.
it barely made it.
Really?
Barely made it. And even though you put the date of your trip on
right.
the form,
right.
it barely made it. She said, over the past several months, many travelers who applied for a passport did not receive the document in time for their planned travel. I deeply regret that, and I accept complete responsibility. That was pretty amazing, and that's why she made news, because she's one of the only officials who have ever said, I am responsible.
Yeah.
And to think that in itself is a sad statement.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But the fact then that we do have this huge screw-up with passports that...
Did she say anything about fixing the problem?
Fixing
the turnaround.
She's actually tried to fix it, which is really interesting, because how they got in this mess is actually kind of interesting, too, that the government started requiring Americans to have passports on January 23rd, and that was in an effort to thwart terrorism. Right now, 2 million people are waiting for their passports, and 500,000 have waited more than 3 months. Typically, it takes 6 weeks. And only 20% of people have a passport, which I thought was interesting.
Hmm.
But the new requirements... were initiated after the September 11th Commission report. In 2004, Congress passed a law. And so it's actually saying people coming from Canada, Mexico, and the Caribbean, Central and South America, and Bermuda by air are going to need passports. That was the change. And prior to that, you did not.
Right.
And so these are the local destinations,
right.
which is why obviously more people are going to go there because it costs less money.
Right.
But it is by air, not by car. And it turns out a lot of people were driving, so you didn't technically need the passport. But that was part of the miscommunication.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Right. So this summer, there's been a ton of destroyed business meetings. Ruined honeymoons and summer vacations just
yep.
down the tubes
yep.
because people did not get their passport in time. And so,
do you think people are more concerned about missing a business meeting or a wedding?
I think more concerned about missing their vacation like I was. I mean, we planned this thing 8 months ago. Can you imagine if I was the one that didn't get my passport, the one who travels all over the world, and I'm the one that screws it up?
Speaking about vacation, did you see the latest Bill Maher special on HBO yet?
Oh, no, I haven't seen it. I wanted to see it. It
okay,
was from Saturday
good.
Night, right?
Yeah. So he makes one comment that's like, I can't remember in the context, but he talks about how everybody loves vacation. And he says the reason why everybody loves vacation is vacation, usually when you go someplace else, even if you're not having sex here, you think, I'm going to have sex there. Even for married couples, it's like vacation equals sex.
Okay.
And ultimately, that's why people, he said, love trips, because it usually means at least the prospects of sex.
Well, unless you're with your family. I'm with my mother and my cousins, so... Hopefully, I'm not thinking that.
Well, but you could meet somebody there. It's a possibility.
An Eskimo, perhaps.
You can do those Eskimo kisses Eskimo. That we used to do as kids.
That's right. that's right. But
anyway, watch the special, kiddies. It's good.
Oh, okay.
It's funny. He's funny as usual.
He's very funny. And he'll be back, right? Coming up at the end of the month.
I think it's coming up at the end of the month, yeah.
I do have to say that, I will say that Comcast you and Time Warner, mm-hmm. you did a horrible merger. And you've completely screwed up my cable, and you can't fix it until the beginning of August.
Oh, my gosh. What did they do?
They just went ahead and they did their conversion.
Yeah.
They didn't tell anybody the exact day they were going to do it because they're doing it by areas, I guess.
Okay.
Well, one morning I wake up, the cable's out. It's like, oh, okay. Then come home that night, the cable's weird. So it's like, you know, you go to your regular channel, and, you know, a certain channel is CNN, and it's not there. It's ESPN.
Oh, you're kidding. They
no,
changed the whole thing.
They changed all the lineup, which was okay, but then half the channels went away. I couldn't get half of them. So I'm thinking, okay, there's something really weird here, but I still didn't know what it was. And I went and checked another TV and had the same problem. So when I call, I'm on hold 45 minutes, and then I find out, oh, yes, they converted in my neighborhood, and they need to type in some code there in their office. Okay.
Hmm.
All right. Nice that they told me this, you know. So they type in the code, and then they say, no, they need me to disconnect the cables at the back of the cable box and reconnect them and move them around. And it's like, well, I can barely reach it. And, you know, why am I doing your job, frankly?
Right.
I'm your paying customer, and
right.
here you are.
We're having some mic to cable connection problems here. It seems like it wasn't the cable after all. It looks like it's a connection between the mic and the cable. So we're just going to hop along as best as we can here.
So to make a long story short, they have to come out But they can't come until the beginning of August because they're so backlogged. Because
have to come out to the house.
They have to come out because they've got to reset everything. But they didn't plan on this, and they are so backlogged right now. So not only do you wait on hold for about an hour to even get through to somebody to tell you that you need to call them, then you've got to wait for the guy to come out, and there's just no appointments.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so I couldn't really see the special. Whoops. I couldn't really see it, even if I wanted to.
Right. Okay, let's stop a little bit.
Okay. Back to the passport problem.
Okay, so I want to let the listeners know what happened. A good engineer always has an extra mic on hand. So we swapped out.
You did, Jeff.
I did. So we swapped out mics.
So it's cords and mics, and now we'll
now
keep going.
We'll see what happens next.
All right.
You know, I do have a backup preamp if we need that, so... We got all chains covered okay. in the Casa Picana studios. Pretty much overkill for a freaking podcast, I know. I'm a nerd.
But you're a well-prepared nerd, so
yes.
We can continue on.
Okay.
Talking about the passport mishap. So,
well, I wanted to make a comment about the Bush administration's people. Did you see Meet the Press?
Oh, I missed it.
Okay. Oh. Mike McConnell from the, I think it's the Intelligence Agency or Homeland Security or something. He was very, very, very good.
Okay.
He was seems like a very honest guy. And actually, he was so critical about the Bush administration going into the war and their misuse of
And he's in the administration?
With all the criticism, they still hired him. And he's, seems like a pretty good guy. So that says something about the administration. But they also had a follow-up at the end of the Meet the Press. They had like three people there that, you know, sort of their discussion forum sometimes. Don't do that.
Sorry.
No, it's hot in here. And, and one guy spent like an hour and a half with Bush. And he said, you know, it's great that he's doing this. He's trying to get good people and they're trying to respond. But at the same time, he is this unbelievably unshaken guy with just a single focus of, you know, a belief. And it's a Christian belief, ultimately, that every country should be a democracy and that we have absolutely every right and duty, in fact, to be in Iraq. No matter how things are going there, he's just unshaken. So... It's very interesting. He's a very interesting guy.
This McCullough.
Well, I was talking about Bush, actually.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the problem with Bush is he's not a deep thinker. You know, he's sort of more of a, unfortunately.
Yes, you noticed.
Well,
it might actually be good news for the Democrats in 2008.
So. Right.
So we'll see about that.
And Hillary's leading the polls by quite a bit at this point.
Absolutely. Especially in South Carolina, which is where they were talking about the black voters and the influence of the black voters. That's the first major state that's not just white. It's
oh, really?
Fifth primary coming up. And it's the first one that really has a diverse population.
That's interesting.
And the Democrats are actually, obviously it's Hillary leading Obama and Edwards because he's from South Carolina.
Right.
So it's going to be a... CNN was doing a big piece about how the Democrats are very happy this year. They have a lot to choose from.
Oh, wow. Very good. I'm glad to hear that. I'm starting to sweat in here. It's hot, isn't it?
It was your big light bulb.
We're doing this for you guys. We're sweating like pigs in here for you. So is that story done? Oh, you got more.
No. You know what? The only thing I wanted to say, which was really ironic about how they got in this mess, it was really funny because if you've ever worked at a company and you have a consulting firm come in, right? And they spend, you know how much they spend. It's like they don't come in for what? Under several $100,000, right? They bring a whole team in, a couple $100,000, and they're there for months, right? And they interview you and they ask arcane questions. And, you know, you see them getting together and they always have the ear of the, you know, the man, the highest up person, because that's obviously who hired them. Well, the exact same thing happened here. Of course, they consulted to figure out how many people they were going to need and how heavy the amount of passport applications were going to be. They consulted with Homeland Security, the travel industry. They analyzed historical trends, and they hired Bearing Point, which is a big consulting firm. I think it used to be KPMG.
Oh, okay.
And now it's Bearing Point. And I actually had the experience of working with Bearing Point at one job where I was. And they conducted the big study, and based on the big study, they said that the rise was going to be from 12.1 million in 06 to 16.2, and they totally miscalculated. They're going to be at least at 17.7 because the average growth has been 18.5% for the past 3 years.
Wow.
So after all this consulting, they came up so short. That's one of the reasons why they're so screwed up right now.
Oh, that's interesting.
Right. So they never anticipated 5.5 applications in January, February, and March alone. So what can you do? But in just if
so the forecast was off,
the forecast
so they couldn't
off.
Staff it
so
properly.
They did staff up, but not enough because the forecast was off.
Right.
And then at the very beginning, they saw that the applications were outpacing passports issued, but they didn't even react fast enough then.
Ah, so that's the thing the consultants
missed.
Not only did
too.
They miss the forecast, but you have to have. I mean, this is right up my alley of things that I used to do in business. You have to have a mechanism in there to be able to control and react. Just setting up a process is not good enough.
Right.
You have to have something in there to control and adapt.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to figure that out beforehand, how you're going to do that. Because a forecast is a forecast.
Right.
And it will be wrong. It'll be either high or low.
Right. Well, here's just the footnote to that. On June 8th, because I didn't know this, but the government announced it will accept a government-issued photo ID and the passport application receipt from air travelers instead of a passport through September 30th.
Hmm.
So if you are out there and you are waiting...
Oh. Huh.
Ow. That hurt.
Oh. Okay.
Hello? 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 Oh. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Okay.
Maybe I have my mic cord problems. I hope it's a mic cord, not that mic.
Hmm. Okay.
I don't have any more mic cords. So we're going to have to slough through the show like this, Gretchen.
Okay. All right. Well,
what are you doing to my mic cord?
More slicing and dicing for you.
Yeah.
But anyhow, that's just a good note. If you don't have your passport yet, you are okay to travel as long as you bring your copy of your application receipt and your government-issued ID.
Oh, that is good to know.
That is good news. So they've actually rescinded the restrictions, or they've rescinded the new rule.
Right.
Because they realize they're so backed up through September 30th.
Let's go away for a while, you and I, to a strange and distant land.
All right. Well, I have a little observation I wanted to make about the mullet.
Oh, the mullet. You ever had a mullet?
No, of course not. I'm way too cool for that.
I never had one either. It was not an attractive hairstyle.
No, it's not. But no, I saw, you know, one of these emails that came across, like the history of the mullet, blah, blah, blah. It's funny. Yeah. But then I guess I was kind of aware of the mullet. So I went to the grocery store. This is the Kroger, and it's right here in the middle of an area of Dallas that's pretty urban.
Trendy, right.
So forth.
Right.
And by gosh, if I didn't see mullets. So I saw two mullets there. One guy had a mullet that was extremely long in the back.
Oh.
And one guy had a mullet that was kind of a short but very curly in the back. And both of these guys had like really hot girlfriends with them. So the only thing I was left to, now I don't think these people are professionals. I don't think a professional has a mullet. I really don't. I mean, that would be weird. So I think they're probably, you know, not professional, but still, the girlfriends were hot.
Professional what?
Professional workers.
Oh.
White-collar workers.
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, have you ever seen anybody in an office with a mullet?
No.
No. So
no.
That's kind of, I think it's, but I guess my point is, I even in this presentation that I got in the email that was ripping on mullets,
uh-huh.
All the pictures you could tell were from the 80s. You know? It wasn't like, look at this guy with the modern-day mullet.
Right.
So it was a little bit out of time.
Right. But you still saw it.
My observation is there are still mullets. Apparently in the blue collar world, that mullets are still cool and they're drawing hot chicks.
So are you thinking about a new hairstyle?
Yes. I've started to grow my mullet. Because who doesn't want hot chicks?
Well, you know what you should do? You should have taken pictures. You should have asked them if you could take their picture, and then you could have posted it and said, look, updated mullets for 2007.
I should have done that,
yeah.
You know? But how would then that wouldn't that be insulting? If somebody came up to
you
and said...
you could have said you're a reporter, and you're going to mention it on your podcast.
What if some... Yeah, I mean, I could have.
You didn't
have
to spin it as being...
I didn't have my camera. I could have had my mics. I could have had a whole thing with the
mullets. Well, you have that fabulous iPhone camera.
Yeah, that iPhone camera doesn't work all that well. But, you know, it does take basic pictures. I could have gotten the mullet. You're right. I could have done that had I been a braver man.
You didn't have to tell me you were going to dish him. You could have just said, I just want to take that hairstyle of yours to my barber.
Yeah. There you go. My barber would refuse. Absolutely, she would refuse. She would not let me do it.
Well, so do you think the mullet men were affected by today's news of the rise in the federal minimum wage for the first time in a decade?
You know, I don't know. Maybe not.
Maybe not. Yeah, you know? That's true.
They may be very well-to-do. Non-professionals like plumbers or, you know, things like that. Who knows? It's a world where the mullet is acceptable. And in my professional world, the mullet really isn't acceptable. It's to be laughed at. But in this world, apparently, it's to be...
I think it also has a bit to do with the military, doesn't it? I'm just thinking sort of like ex-military brats who have traveled around the world. I've seen them with... Okay.
Oh, really? So maybe it's like a takeoff of the... the military haircut.
Yeah, like then you get to grow your hair long, but you still keep part of it short.
To show that you're ex-military, maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's something to it. Yeah. Maybe that's how it got started.
We don't know the origins of the mullet.
No, we don't.
But anyhow, the minimum wage. So do you know what it is? The new federal minimum wage?
I don't know.
I know. It's pretty shocking, isn't it? That because it doesn't affect us, we don't know.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
don't keep up.
Yeah. Don't keep up. But it's actually... really sad when you stop to hear
about it. I'm still aspiring to make the minimum wage.
So that means you are one of the 1.7 million people who made less than $5.15 in 2006. And now you will be making $5.85. You know what that translates to? Working full time. That translates to 12,000.
Just keep going.
$12,168 a year before taxes. The poverty level for singles is $10,200, and for couples it's $13,690.
So it's just a wee bit above poverty.
It's a wee bit above poverty, yep. Yep, and that's not, you know, that is again before taxes. And why this is sort of relevant right now is because with the election coming up, that poverty is one of the Democratic issues raising poverty and raising the minimum wage.
More poverty? Is that what they're going for?
Oh, no, yeah, lots more poverty. We want more. Bring it on. More. Two dozen states and the District of Columbia have a minimum wage that's higher than the federal one. That's why I couldn't always figure out why California and Hawaii, why it was higher. But the typical minimum wage earner is young, single, female, and often Black or Hispanic. However, this isn't all great news because what happens is employers of these low income workers either raise the price of their products, cut back on their employees' hours, or let some of the workers go. According to the National Restaurant Association, the last minimum wage increase in the restaurant industry cost the industry 146,000 jobs, and restaurant owners did not hire another 100,000.
Wow.
So they're either going to raise menu prices or eliminate some positions. And so we end up feeling it that way. So essentially, we all sort of pay for the minimum wage increase. Yet still, we are the wealthiest country in the world. And, you know, people think it's an outrage that someone who works full time still winds up in poverty. So a small step forward. And it's going to continue to increase over the next 2 years, ending in 2009 at $7.25 an hour.
Ooh, rich men.
Rich men. So, I know we don't know about it because it doesn't affect us, but it's a problem in America.
Yeah.
12 million people below the poverty line.
Yeah, working full time, trying to make a living, and...
And you can't.
Yeah. So what do we do about it? Do we have better programs that get people into schools and get better jobs, and then who's going to take those jobs that the restaurants and so forth need? Is it our immigrants? Mm. And it's all kind of rolled into... policies that affect immigration. The other thing Bill Maher said the other night in his special was that, you know how the Republicans made gay marriage such an issue in 2004? Mm-hmm. It really was kind of a splinter issue. And one could argue that they won because of gay marriage, where how much does gay marriage really affect us now? It just doesn't.
Right.
In fact, it doesn't affect the average American
at
one bit.
Right.
It's just a little issue that gets people emotional.
Right.
But Mara said the issue for 2008, in all seriousness, may be immigration. Mm-hmm. He predicted a lot of discussion about immigration and both parties trying to make wedge issues out of it. So. Mm-hmm.
And that definitely has affected the minimum wage, because those are those jobs.
Right, right. So I wonder. Interesting.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned.
Well, my mom had a really good suggestion for a podcast item. She came across something called a USB powered vacuum cleaner. And it's essentially a little mini vac to help like dust out your keyboard.
Okay.
You plug it into your computer. But she said, Jeff, there's so many weird USB, you know, powered items. They're so gimmicky. So I did some searching.
Such as, Jeff, what did you find?
And I found some interesting ones. Well, there's a USB chameleon, and you just plug it in right by your computer, and it changes colors. It's plastic, and it randomly rolls his eyeballs and sticks his tongue out and changes shade.
So he's a grown-up toy then?
He's just a toy.
He's a toy? Okay.
He's just a toy that you plug in and your empty USB port.
How many empty USB ports does one have?
All depends.
Yeah, I don't have any.
Modern? No, you have at least one. Come on.
I don't know.
How would you plug in an iPod?
There you go. That's been my problem. No,
most computers have some sort of combination of USB and FireWire. And gosh, I would say the standard now is at least six.
Okay, maybe I have four or something.
Some of the older laptops only have two USB ports on them. Because even today's mice are USB mice. So you got to plug the mice in. The USB humping dog. Now, this thing works. You just plug it into the port. There's not even a cord next to it, but the dog just basically gets plugged in and starts humping away. Its rear legs are hinged at the hips, and they don't stop moving. So these are gift items.
You want one of those?
No. I remember this one. This was one of the very first ones that ever came out, was a USB coffee mug warmer. Remember that one?
I do remember that. Yeah.
At the time it came out, I thought, that's freaking silly. They've got USB massage balls. And it's like, I don't know where you put it, but apparently it's like moving balls and stuff. And I don't know where you put it, under your butt or in your back when you're sitting. I don't know. This sounded interesting, actually. This one could be useful, a USB Wi-Fi extender. And it's $150, so it's not cheap. But you plug it into your USB cord, and if you know how sometimes you're in a faint edge of a Wi-Fi network? It'll amplify that Wi-Fi signal for you.
Oh, okay.
Pretty pricey, so it's not particularly a great deal. This one was the best, USB ear scope. So what you could do is you plug this thing in, and then you put it up to your ear, and apparently it shows the inside of your ear on your computer.
Oh, you're kidding. Do you want to see that?
No. No. And they said that looks absolutely gross.
Isn't it disgusting enough when your dentist shows you the camera?
Yes.
What's in your mouth? It's like, I don't want to see that.
Exactly.
You're the one. I'm paying you to do this.
Exactly. Now, this is the stupidest USB memo holder. All right. So, Gretchen, here's what it is. It's a memo holder, right? And when you put like a memo in the slot, mm-hmm. it lights up. That's it. So if you come to your desk and you see that your memo holder is bright blue, you know you have a memo sticking in it. Well, don't you visually see that there's a memo sticking in it?
Didn't you put the memo there?
Yeah, I think you did. And I think the visual clue is that it's sitting there. So that's a good gift item. Gift item for one of those white elephants.
Oh my God, that's so bad.
USB hub, letter opener, and clock. So now USB hub is something where you plug in a USB and it's kind of like a multiple plugs. So
okay.
You get multiple USBs out of it.
Okay.
It's also a clock. And then for those workers that have to open a lot of letters, you slide the letter and it opens it up automatically for you. There's a USB interactive aquarium. Now this is interactive. So, you know, you've seen those fake fish.
Fake fish, right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So it's one of those. But this one tells you things like when the fish needs food, when it needs medicine, when it wants to play.
When it's going to die.
When the light off and light on. Doesn't say that. And when it needs refreshing.
Oh.
So do you really want to be on a schedule for feeding
fake
your
fish.
Fake fish?
Man.
Okay, here's one I am going to get. The USB virtual friends. Now, these are little robot-looking people. You plug them into your USB, and there's a little picture frame on their faces.
Okay.
So you can plug in the picture of some
friend.
Person that you want as a friend.
Okay.
And what they do is they greet you a little bit. They have a motion sensor on them, so they activate when you come close by. I don't know really what they do. They just, you can select their personalities. in two choices, either nice or cheeky.
Cheeky. Oh, very British. They're going to be cheeky.
I would definitely get the cheeky friend. Maybe I'd get one cheeky friend and one nice friend. So it's not really clear in all that they do. I don't think they do a lot.
It sounds like you're describing everything they do.
Yes. There's a USB refrigerator. It refrigerates one can at a time. It's only the size of one can. And I saw an article on this one where the people were testing this out, and they had a big graph of time, coolingness, and it was very nerdy.
That sounds like something you would do. You sure you didn't do that graph?
Yeah, okay, I did that.
You did the graph.
And there's a USB glowing porcupine. Anyway, I could have found these for ages, but...
So you're getting your mom the vacuum for Mother's Day?
I think she might need it. She might have dust in her keyboard. Maybe that was her subtle clue for...
Yeah, she's like, Jeff, this is what I want.
This is what I want for my next Mother's Day.
That's right. Christmas is coming.
Christmas is coming. Actually, her birthday is coming in September, so now I know.
Now you know.
She needs some USB gifts.
Mother boy, why you wanna look like that? Mother boy, why you wanna look like that? Was it a barber's mistake? Or are you just a redneck? Mother boy, why you wanna look like that?
Well, speaking of weird things like that, I was at Dave and Buster's Friday night.
Yeah.
And I was walking out, and I happened to notice that in the vending machine on the way out, it was filled with nothing but Dave and Buster t-shirts.
Oh, wow.
And so you put money in, and a Dave and Buster's t-shirt drops out. No, or maybe you put tickets in or something.
Okay.
But why anybody would want that, I don't understand. But
I don't know.
It was also unusual that the entire machine was filled with the same item.
Right.
But I also saw... this very fascinating article about vending machines in Japan, because you've been to Japan,
yes,
right?
Yes, I have been.
So kind of an unusual culture in some regards,
They have very advanced vending machines.
They do have advanced vending machines.
They
do.
Do
you remember any of the things that were in them?
Well, I remember a lot of coffee, cold coffee, cans of coffee, obviously soda.
Yep.
I'm trying to think.
But you want to hear the weird thing about soda? The odd thing
Tell
about
me.
Soda, they do have soda in vending machines,
yep.
But with a twist, they have one particular soda called Water Salad, produced by Coca-Cola, that is salad flavored.
Oh, yummy.
And they are programmed to change the price of drinks depending on how hot it is outside.
Oh, that's cool.
Isn't that amazing?
That's awesome.
The prices go up as the temperatures go up.
That's great marketing.
That's brilliant marketing.
Yes.
So the other thing is they dispense umbrellas, which is actually pretty good if you need umbrellas. Yep. They dispense rice. The nation that lives on rice, you can go and get any amount of rice. You put the money in.
Like bulk rice?
Like bulk rice, yeah. If you want to, you can purchase up to 22 pounds of rice.
Wow.
Out of a vending machine.
Wow.
That's pretty weird.
That's pretty weird.
You can purchase toilet paper, just in case you need some in a public place. You can purchase fortunes. They have little fortunes because they're very big into it, so you just... put your money in and get your fortune.
Wow.
Or here come the really weird ones, like you said, cigarettes. Yes, you can get cigarettes. You can get beer and sake and whiskey from Japanese vending machines.
Yes,
right?
Yes, you can, yes.
There's just a sign that says, you know, underage drinkers can stay away, and it's all your honor system.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Then the two most unusual ones, you can dispense rhinoceros beetles. They are real living beetles. They cost 80 cents to 250. They're popular among Japanese youths.
Wow.
They have impressive horns and big jaws. And those are the males. And they sell for more than the females.
But so you don't eat them?
No, you don't eat them.
Fun.
You just play with them. See, there's a picture of them. Rhinoceros beetles. Coming out of the vending machine.
Wow.
Pretty
I'd like one of those.
And last but not least.
I bet the men don't put them in women's clothing at all.
No, probably not. This is probably what they put in women's clothing. They dispense porn and sex toys. You can get pornographic materials, designer condoms, and dildos from vending machines in the red light district.
Really?
Yes, you can get videos, sex aids. They range from $16 to $82. And they are protected by metal bars and shields that rolled up during the day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they're covered during the day, and then they roll up so you can see the wares at night.
See, I don't even remember a red light district in Tokyo.
Oh, this one was actually in Kyoto.
Okay.
But it's all across Japan. But the one that they photographed here, where you can get your pornographic materials.
Wow.
Can you imagine? Where do you get $82? I hope it's not all coins that you have to put in the
$82 for what? A dildo?
Well, yeah. Some of them range from $16 to $82.
That's a lot of money for...
For a
piece of vibrating plastic. Albeit fun.
Albeit fun and odd because it's Japan. So.
Yes.
So.
How about that? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
When I was over there, I did not see the sex.
The sex toys. So now you know.
Now I know.
Make a special trip to Japan.
Yeah, right.
Well, after you had the USB story, I had to follow up with something.
Oh, you know, I'm pretty sure there is a USB vibrator out there, too. I'm sure there is. I think I recall seeing it.
I think it goes along with the massage balls.
Yes, very similar concept there. We can have this vibrate. What could it be used for? Gretchen is saying, I already have one of those.
Don't get me that for Christmas.
Well, I got an email that, see, this is how lame I am. I'm going to go through a joke email here.
Oh, okay. All right.
But this one was fun. It was the new words for 2007.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Did you see this one?
Gigormous is one, right?
I don't know if gigormous. I haven't really read all these yet. Gigormous? I don't
see. This is Webster's, right? This is what?
No, it's not Webster's. I think it's just funny.
Oh, okay.
Asmosis. This is the process by which some people seem to absorb success and advancement by kissing up to the boss rather than working hard.
Oh, okay. These aren't real.
Right. These aren't real.
Okay.
Salmon Day, the experience of spending an entire day swimming upstream only to get screwed and die in the end. Cube farm, an office filled with cubicles.
There you go.
Prairie dogging, when someone yells or drops something loudly in a cube farm and people's heads pop over the walls to see what's going on.
That's cute.
Mouse potato, an online wired generation's answer to the couch potato. Sitcoms, you know what that is? It's a single income, two children, oppressive mortgage. what yuppies get into when they have children and one of them stops working to stay home with the kids?
It's called All sitcom, right. Single income, two...
Two children, oppressive mortgage.
Oppressive mortgage. That's great.
Let me go through these and edit a little bit. 404, someone who's clueless. We know that. Generica, features of the American landscape that are exactly the same no matter where one is, such as fast food joints, strip malls, and subdivisions.
Yep. Don't you think that, you know, you can be in any city now across the country and you see the same things?
Oh, you could be that. I mean, that was still that way 10 years ago, though. I mean, it's getting more and more
it's
that way.
It's worse, though, now, yeah, because all the major retailers are chains.
Right.
Very few independents left anymore.
Right. Percussive maintenance, the fine art of whacking the crap out of an electronic device to get it to work again.
Is that your MO? Is that your technique?
Yeah, with this equipment that we're trying to figure out here. And what else we got here? Blame storming. I like blame storming. That's sitting around in a group discussing why a deadline was missed or a project failed and who was responsible.
You actually have a debriefing to figure out where you're going to put the
right,
blame.
Right, exactly.
Well.
Anyway, that was just a
funny.
Lame email.
Those are funny.
Well, thank you. That was my best article of the day.
Okay, you want to hear something controversial that's happening in Gilbert, Arizona? Southeast of Phoenix.
Gilbert is around Phoenix,
yep,
isn't it?
Yep, southeast of Phoenix. Okay, this is happening in the world of libraries. You're not going to believe it, but hold your pants on.
Libraries. Going on in the world of libraries?
Controversial in the world of libraries, yep.
How about that?
Okay, there's a new library in Gilbert, Arizona. They
I go all the time.
Okay.
It's a great library.
All right.
I check out stuff.
They opened it last month. Now people are checking out 900 items a day, more than the typical 100 items. And what they're saying part of the appeal is they have bookstore-like features, including low shelves, lounge furniture, and displays of popular titles. But what they did that's super controversial is they abandoned the Dewey Decimal System.
Wow.
That's huge. That is huge. So now the books carry spines with titles like History and Weddings. And they're instead of being located in the traditional numerical system, they use a computerized catalog to find which subject a book has been filed under. And then you follow the signs. Similar to a bookstore. Some visitors don't even go to the catalog altogether. They just go for the aisle that interests them. So this is a Dewey-free facility, and it sparked heated debate in the library world.
That is
that unbelievable?
That is very interesting. I'm just trying to think through this, the ramifications of this. I worked at a library when I was in high school.
And your parents
And I
go.
Shelved books and so forth.
Right? And your parents
Oh, my
go
parents are big library people. Now, on the one hand, bookstores aren't arranged by the Dewey Decimal System, so clearly the Dewey Decimal System isn't consumer-oriented, and I think that might be fair to say that bookstores, a commercial business, did not choose to use the Dewey Decimal System for years.
Right.
I mean, ever probably, because it's apparently their marketing decided that it wasn't the way people wanted to search for books.
That's true.
They wanted to go to a topic area, although the Dewey Decimal System is grouped in topics. So who does the Dewey Decimal System serve? Clearly library professionals as a way of classification, classifying library material, and researchers, I would think. But a library that's consumer-based, consumer-oriented, I don't know, man. That's, I can...
You can see the pros and cons.
I can see the pros and cons. I guess I'm surprised a little bit that they sort of didn't dual code it.
Right.
Just as a transitional sort of thing.
On one camp, the people defending Dewey are decrying the Barnes and Noblizing and Googleization of libraries. And one of these commentators has said, have you ever tried finding something in a bookstore? You can browse.
No, it's hard.
You can browse in a bookstore. You can browse and you can just see what interests you.
If I know exactly what I want, I usually go to somebody.
You have to ask a person, right?
So that's fair.
That's a fair argument, right? They're also saying, on the other hand, though, that this discussion that's happening at libraries is that a growing number of patrons used to Google and Yahoo don't look for books and information the way they used to, which is sort of, you know, what you're saying. So it's actually, they're saying now it's a religious war at this point within the world of librarians.
Wow.
So the Dewey Decimal System dates from the 1870s. It's the classification used by more than 200,000 libraries worldwide.
Right.
It's in 30 different languages. Over 95% of U.S. public libraries use the Dewey System.
And you know, I was dating a librarian once, and one thing I learned about that was there's also another equally large classification system that's more oriented towards the academic world.
The Library of Congress?
I don't remember the name of it. It could have been Library of Congress, but I was kind of surprised that I thought
the
Dewey Decimal System was it, but no,
right.
there's a whole completely different one that's oriented towards academic material.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and even younger librarians are worrying that simple subject headings aren't specific enough to keep a collection organized.
Okay.
Like if you're looking for a book about traveling in France, you would go to 914.4 in any library using Dewey. Well, those books would be scattered throughout a travel or European section in a less specific system. Or, like, if you were in a Barnes & Noble, you'd have to go ask somebody,
right,
where are the books about traveling? So, anyhow, it's very controversial. What's happening in the world of libraries?
Well, okay, I'm just thinking about it more, thinking, you know, you just toss this on me. But the thing about Barnes & Nobles as well is if I go to the travel section, that's where I'm going to browse my travel books, I'm not going to see huge amounts of travel books. I mean, it depends on the store, of course.
Right, right.
But I'm going to see the modern publications.
And you're going to see current
ones.
The thing
that publishers are trying to push.
Right.
I'm not going to see archived, necessarily, old
What
books.
Travel books looked like in the 60s,
right,
for example.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So I'm going to get a selection of modern
in-print publications, yes. And
those are generally going to be arranged, I think, in the travel section by country,
logically. Yep, by country.
Yeah.
But even that is hard because there's three shelves of books about London.
Right.
So, you know, you got to search through all three of them to figure out, you know, which one to buy for London.
Well, what I'll typically do is go to Amazon and see which ones people like.
Oh, there you go.
You know, I do.
That's a good idea.
Oh, yes, I do all the time. Figure out what's the most popular, what people like, because they rate them by stars. And then I'll either buy it through Amazon, or if I'm in a hurry, I'll go to the bookstore and try to find it.
Hmm. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah.
So, but
my library here in my study is classified using the Dewey Decimal System.
Oh, you've classified your own because you studied it. Well, what's funny
And I have a little... Do you remember those...
you have a card catalog?
Can you remember those cute little card catalog thingies? with the index cards. I wonder if libraries still have those. It's all computerized now, isn't it?
Yeah.
I haven't been to a library in years.
It is, yeah. Aww. You can buy those card catalogs at like flea markets.
Oh, I bet.
And they're very expensive.
They're cool.
Yeah, they're very cool. Yeah. Think about that. Actually, did you know that when like librarians like are trying to pick up each other, that they actually list their interest by the Dewey Decimal System?
Now that's funny.
Isn't that cute?
That's very cute.
Yeah, like this one woman, she said her interests are 641.5, 746.42.
Isn't that great? I remember when I was working at the library, I can't remember, end of junior high or beginning of high school, but I was fascinated with somewhere around 630. And what it was about human sexuality. So I would, because my job was pretty easy, was putting away books. And
right?
When books were put away, there was nothing left to do, so I would hang out in 630.
Find your favorite section.
630, 640, something like that.
So I
can kind of see it. If you're around it a lot, you do know those numbers.
You know those numbers, yeah. When if you want to meet somebody in that profession, that's a nice way to do
it. Hey, baby.
Do you like 640?
I'm into 642.7. What are you into? That's so nerdy.
If they asked me, I could write a book about the way you walk and whisper and look. I could write a preface on how we met, so the world would never forget. And the simple secret of the plot is just to tell them that I love you a lot. Then the world discovers as my book.
All right, well, here's what I really wanted to talk about. This is an amazing article. If you get a chance, pick up Fast Company or go online.
Okay.
A really great article about something that we all touch multiple times a day, of every one of us.
An iPhone.
Bigger than an iPhone, baby. It's bigger than an iPhone. We spend more money on it than iPods. We spend more money than movie tickets.
Must be TV.
No, it must be bottled water.
Bottled water. Oh, I love bottled water.
It's about the business of bottled water, and it just makes you stop and think really long and hard about bottled water. And that's what I just think, if everybody can get a chance, it's a long, 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 long article.
Yeah.
I'll only touch on some of the highlights of it.
Good. See, so this is what we do for you, our listener.
Absolutely amazing about why we need to stop drinking bottled water, frankly.
Really? So I need to stop?
It's really unbelievably bad.
Oh, no.
In so many different ways.
So tap water is better for me?
Tap water is so much better for the whole world, frankly.
I mean,
because we have some of the best water in the world. Actually, America does. Tap water is safer and more highly regulated than bottled water.
Okay. Oh, boy. Hey, what about filtered water? Because, like, my company has filtered water.
Actually, that would be fine, too.
Okay, good.
Because you can drink tap water straight.
Because it comes from the tap.
That's right.
Filtered.
It's filtered.
Okay,
good. But here's some of the points that come up in this absolutely fabulous article. But we can all relate to it because we touch it every day, right? Bottled water is the indispensable prop in our life and our culture. It starts in the lunchbox. It goes to every meeting. It goes to lectures. It goes to the soccer match. It goes to cubicles at work. It goes to the treadmill at the gym. And it's in every minivan, every car. You know, we've got it everywhere. It's on TV.
I bring it everywhere I go.
It's in the hotel room offering you to purchase it. At Whole Foods, it is the number one item by units sold, bottled water.
But here's the deal. I'm in my car. It's hot, Texas. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay, so I'll start drinking tap. I have no problems with that. I have no problems with the taste or anything.
Right.
But how do I transport it?
That's
how do I take it with me?
But just reuse your bottle. That's all this is going to boil down to.
But I thought it was bad to reuse water bottles.
According to whom?
I thought I read that someplace, the plastic is bad for you.
They're going to last 500 years in the landfill, which is where they're going, baby. So 30 years ago, bottled water barely existed as a business. Last year, we spent $15 billion. That's with a B. Next year, it's going to be $16 billion. It is the food phenomenon of our time. We have now raised a generation that does not trust tap water and water fountains.
Right.
We drink a billion bottles of water a week. And that's talking about the United States.
Right.
It's not talking worldwide. That's the United States. So bottled water is 2 to 4 times the cost of gasoline. And we've all complained about how high the cost of gasoline is, but when you look at the cost of bottled water, it's 2 to 4 times. When we buy a bottle of water, you're often buying the bottle itself as much as the water. And they actually break down at one point where the costs are within the bottle.
Right.
But you know where the other cost is that nobody thinks about?
Where?
It's the transportation to move the bottles because they are so heavy.
Yep.
You can't even fill a containered truck with it because they are higher than the limit of that's allowed by the truck on the roads in this country. They have to actually ship water with air in the truck. They can't fill the truck the whole way or it exceeds the weight limit of our roads. That's what's so amazing about how heavy it is.
And just think of all that energy being used up.
That's right.
So again, this is good.
So we move 1 billion bottles of water a week in ships, trains, and trucks. That's a weekly convoy of 37,000 18-wheelers delivering water, and water weighs 8 1/3 pounds a gallon. Okay, but what's really, really sad, here's the part that's really, really sad, is that 1 out of 6 people in the world have no dependable, safe drinking water. That is 1 billion people have no water to drink, and every day 3,000 children die because they don't have water. And yet here we are purchasing a product that we don't actually need because we have the most amazing tap water in the world. But because we want instant gratification, vanity, token concern for health, packaging, and portability.
I never thought about it as vanity at all. Mm. That seems really weird. But transportability and health.
Yeah.
Health. Then that's why this is a great message, because what I'm hearing you say, you probably get into this the regulation of it or not, but tap water is actually better for you. Is that correct?
Tap water is completely safe for you.
Okay.
All right. There are some things that they do to bottled water, but you'll hear how ridiculous it is, though. Here's what's amazing. So we have this whole industry that's grown up, but it totally depends on fossil fuel. When you think about how they produce it, it's produced with electricity, it's transported with oil, it's and it's not recycled as much as it should be. So they actually, the author travels to San Pellegrino, Italy. He travels to Fiji. And in Fiji, the state-of-the-art factory makes 1 million bottles a day. And that is by far the hippest bottled water in the U.S. right now. While more than half the people on the island of Fiji do not have safe drinkable water.
Wow.
So a typical American in Beverly Hills can get a drink of safer water than the person living in Fiji. Oh, it's so sad. I mean, it is just, you just want to go, oh my gosh, this just makes me really, really sad. So in 1976, the average American drank 1.6 gallons of bottled water. Last year, the average American drank 28.3 gallons of bottled water. So we drink more bottled water now than milk, coffee, or beer. Only carbonated soft drinks outpace bottled water.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I drink a lot of it.
Right. The entire bottled water business today is half the size of the carbonated beverage industry, but this industry spends 15% of what the carbonated beverage industry spends. But where we all can go back and thank the people where this came from is Perrier actually started it. Perrier wasn't just water. It was marketed as a beverage back in the 70s, and it was marketed as being exclusive. So
right.
Only certain people could get it, and it was associated with celebrity.
That was definitely, it was vanity-oriented,
right.
Yes.
So then after Perrier, because it was sparkling and it had the signature glass bottle, the next big push was Evian. Remember Evian
right,
in
absolutely.
1984?
Again,
it was built around toned young men and women in tight clothes sweating at the gym. Madonna drank Evian on stage, and so if you were cool, you were drinking bottled water. It was a status symbol.
Right.
So that was the still water, which Americans prefer. And it was that great plastic bottle. The plastic water did more for water than the pop top did for soda. It turned water into an anytime, anywhere beverage. Just at the moment we decided we wanted a beverage.
Right.
So now we have, it's just a great article. Bottled water isn't healthier or safer than tap water. We're the biggest consumer of the world's $50 billion bottled water market, but we're the only one in the top four that has a universally reliable source of tap water. The other ones are Brazil, China, and Mexico, which is you drink it there for your health.
Right.
Whereas in the United States, you don't need to drink it. We in this country, it's impressively safe. It's monitored constantly. The test results are public. There's no indication that minerals do make it healthier. So the FDA forbids minerals to be added to U.S. water. if we were going to use water in our homes that was the equivalent of what cheap bottled water costs, our monthly water bill would run $9,000.
Wow.
When you think about that. Some of the best water in the country, I know if I've lived in Manhattan, and Manhattanites love their tap water. And they actually say, you know, if you're in a restaurant, if you're with a Manhattanite, they always say tap water. The same with San Francisco. San Francisco's municipal water comes from Yosemite National Park. It's so good.
Wow.
The EPA doesn't require San Francisco to filter it. So, and recently they just decided they're going to put a ban on city workers buying bottled water. San Francisco just did.
Really?
Yeah, because they've realized this is just too much. They've done millions and millions of taste tests. Well, lots and lots of taste tests, right? The ordinary person can rarely distinguish between tap water, spring water, and luxury waters, which is just amazing. 24% of the bottled water we buy is tap water repackaged by Coke and Pepsi. Tap water. Coke and Pepsi re-bottle tap water. Pepsi is the nation's number one bottled water distributor with Aquafina. Coke is number two with Dasani. They take municipal water and they repackage it, which means they refilter it around using more electricity, and then they turn it back to us and sell it back to us.
Wow.
The biggest water company in the United States is Nestle, which bought up all these small little brands. And they use spring water, and spring water has to come from actual springs. So this is where the price of bottled water goes. The average price of bottled water, half of it goes to the retailer. Up to a third of it goes to the distributor and the transporter. 12 to 15 cents is the cost of the water itself. That's it. 12 to 15 cents is the cost of the water, the bottle, and the cap, and so there's a dime of profit. And on multi-pack, so when you buy it in bulk, there's only 2 cents a bottle of profit.
I'm convinced. I hope our listeners are convinced. I'm going to start drinking tap water. I'm going to keep a few bottles around and buy some bottled water every now and then for the bottles, and that's going to be it.
But the water market's growing. Hold on. It's growing because...
We got to stop that.
Well,
it's bad for the energy.
Here comes flavored water, enhanced water, colored water, and branded water.
Yeah, there's vitamin water, too.
Vitamin water. Right. Right.
My favorite is the new one called urine water. It's yummy.
So they go back to the Fiji story, and half the cost of Fiji is in the transportation of moving it, because think about how long it takes to get where it's got to go and how far it's got to go. But it comes from a state-of-the-art facility that runs 24 hours a day, so it has to have an uninterrupted supply of electricity, which the local utility infrastructure can't support.
Hmm.
And it is one of the last pristine ecosystems on Earth, as the label says, but out and back behind the bottling plant is all this diesel haze.
Oh, man,
isn't that unbelievable? And then they talk about San Pellegrino's 1 ounce glass bottle. I mean, everybody can visualize that, right?
Right.
It's part of the mystique. It weighs 5 times as much as a plastic water bottle, so that dramatically adds to the freight cost and the energy consumption. It takes 2 liters of water to prepare the bottle that the sparkling Pellegrino in.
Oh, my gosh.
Because they have to wash it and rinse it.
Wow.
Oh, it's unbelievable. The story goes on and on and on. But then we talk about the landfills. 38 billion bottles a year. That's $1 billion of plastic go into landfills, because only 23% of bottles are recycled these days. So we pitch 38 billion water bottles into our landfill. And I've always heard plastic didn't disintegrate over 500 years. So.
Right. Well, somehow they recycle the plastic. But, you know, I have to say the city of Dallas has fallen down. I ordered my recycle bin from the city 4 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Hasn't been delivered to me yet.
Hmm. Oh, I can give you a number to call.
And I've called those numbers.
You've called?
Yes,
and they don't still send it?
Yeah, they said it'll be a couple weeks, but it's been 4 weeks.
Wow. Wow. So
that's not good.
Yeah, it's just sad that.
Well, I will. Our listeners.
It's a fascinating story. Fast Company, excellent article about why we need to rethink bottled water. It's a level of affluence we take for granted. Maybe you should take that dollar that you were going to spend for the bottle of water, that $1.38 or $1.50, and put it in a jar to care, you know, for Oxfam or Care, where somebody really needs that water. Because
it's
not clean.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, and buy some booze.
Buy some booze instead. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I could give it to poor kids. Okay. No, this is big deal.
It is a big deal.
You convinced me, and
shocked.
I hope you convinced our listeners. to quit buying this stuff. You don't need it.
I know.
And that's ultimately, we don't need it.
Yeah.
So.
Here, they end with, does the value to me equal the 99 cents I'm about to spend? But the real question is, does the value equal the impact I'm about to leave behind?
Right.
And
right.
So nobody thinks about what it takes to get that water in that bottle.
Of course
but
we
it's
don't.
It's just unbelievable when you actually look behind the
So the
picture.
the one question I have that you didn't cover, and it's probably because it's not in that article, but is there any thought, any politicians, any political thoughts, grassroots movements saying, hey, we got to stop. This isn't good for the world.
Well, definitely San Francisco. I heard them just enact it, that you have to drink tap water.
Yeah.
So if you're a San Francisco government employee, you're not going to get any more bottled water.
Okay.
They're not going to sell it to you. You have, if you want to bring your own, you bring your own.
Well, how can they? I mean,
but
if you're out at a market, you can't buy.
Oh, maybe they prohibited the sale of it. I'll have to look that up because I definitely saw it on the news that San Francisco is the first place to start. I'm sure it'll be Oregon coming up next, and then some other city in California will be making a statement about, you know, we really have to stop this, especially because San Francisco's is so good.
Right.
Just like New York's is so good. You know, I can definitely understand the portability, but those bottles are reusable.
Yeah.
That's the part that's like, wow. I mean, I try to reuse my bottle a lot.
I'm going to. You know? So, well, at work, I have a different thing. I've never had bottled water at work because they don't provide it. And I'm too cheap to buy it at work because I'm drinking it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I always I buy a nice water bottle.
Right.
And they usually have filtered water.
Right.
So that's how I drink all day.
Right.
But at home, it's always bottled water. Or actually what I do at home too is I buy the gallons at Whole Foods and then just pour it into my water bottle here at home. But then I also buy the bottled water for the transport because in Texas, you got to have water in the car.
That's hot.
You have to. So. Well, that's good. Very good.
So, good article. Writer Charles Fishman. Excellent writer.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I think that's going to be the show today.
That is it. Through the technical difficulties.
Yeah. Sorry about the technical difficulties, everybody. I'm going to have to do some testing over the next couple weeks, see what the problem is. I hope it's – actually, I'm kind of glad we had this problem with this mic cord combination, a new mic and a new cord. I don't know what to make of that exactly, but my hunch is that it's a bad cord because the cord is the cheapest link. And that would be nicer than it was a bad connection on that good mic. So anyway, you guys don't care. All you guys want is to listen to the podcast that George Bush listens to.
That's right.
So go ahead and give us a call. We'll play your voicemail. But I don't have a number. I didn't register for a new one yet. So
send an email.
You can't do it anyway. And thanks for the people that sent emails in. I guess we'll see you next time. Have a great vacation, Gretchen.
Thank you.
All right.
Alrighty.
Bye.
Bye.